Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
how to write a research paper. Bloody easy, heaps of people do it, but I'm at a stage where it's just a real titanic struggle, and I'm sort of learning bit by bit, and learning that there's a few faults that I have, and there's a few faults out there, and there's a distributed problem, and I suppose I'll go through some technological ideas, in that I just read an article in Cosmos magazine about how this person was involved in basically the start or second discovery in the world of pluripotent stem cells. So these cells are basically like good cancer cells. These are cells which then can are the good guys. They can go in anywhere and repair anything, do anything you want, and they're basically like a second birth. A stem cell is a cell which has just basically got the DNA, and it works out from its environment what it has to do. It's sort of like this genius cell, and there's a couple of years false starts, and finally a team in America and a team in Australia and Singapore got things going, and the Australian team was hampered by a whole heap of legislation, so I slowed down a little bit. A little bit cautious, the American team got a little bit faster, but the Australian team was also, you know, sort of up there. And so, with a great fanfare, Australia got together $54 million to put into this this idea, and this is hiring the best minds, getting it really going. And with a small amount of money, they were really forced to make things big, make it work really quickly. So there wasn't enough money there for it to succeed. The only way was this sort of seed money, just to get it going. And after a while, there was infighting and false promises, and the key people who understood the technology left. And then the Americans decided, look, we're going to do this properly. So this is around 2000, 2005. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, the then governor of California, phoned up this person, and the Americans put $3 billion into this, and said, "Look," he said, "Look, I think it'll take about 15 years." So the Australian went over and headed up this U.S. institute. It took about 15 years, in fact 20 years, and to come across, and finally we have people being cured of cancer. Stem cells are finally beginning to actually work this time. So what's interesting is that this is a story of technology and ideas just not flourishing in Australia, being picked up, and the problem being twofold. One is the culture's not here, but also the money and vision are not here. And so it's not that all ideas, I think almost every idea people go because they've learned science in textbooks, is that there is a short one or possible two paragraphs before you get going. But in reality, when you're starting from nothing, there are many paragraphs and many lines to get going. So here I sort of think what I want to do is basically build basically a chip for experiments. And the chip for experiments is not a GPS chip, but it's the equivalent of a GPS chip. It actually positions that experiment in that classroom in education space. So a GPS is something that you have in your car, and all of a sudden it's much easier to drive. People are throwing away the books the arguments, and they're just driving to and from, and perhaps there are less accidents, perhaps it's more fuel efficient, perhaps it's a much better place, perhaps people are spending more time. Yeah, ideally you'd like to have people spending more family time. What the irony of it is that at this stage we have not learnt to be graceful with new technology. That is, for each part of new technology comes along, we don't sit back, enjoy, we become more fevered, more agitated with it. So that's a bit of an irony there, but I want to go in that direction. And you have this sort of your first cut at it, where you can think your way through it, and then you start to write research papers, and looking at it, you can see some of the research paper is, you know, you're alone, and you have your, some of the research paper is a conversation with yourself. So as you write, you research. And so, to a certain extent, my first attempts are really a symptom of being on your own. So you have to, you know, what is it about silicon, and how does it go together, and what is there, what is the irony going across? So you sort of spend time walking in the research space, and your paper comes out as more as a iterative diary, which you read over and research and direct the research, which is great, but obviously it's not for someone else to read. And so you've got this thing of knowing that you're off by yourself and people aren't interested in what you have to say, and also which is one thing, you know, it's partly your fault, and you know that from the actual I suppose feedback, you know, it's other people's faults, because at the end of it, in terms of it's like you've been served, you're playing a deck of cards, and you have, say, an ace and a queen, and then other low value cards, and you hold those cards knowing that there is a possibility of winning if you play long enough. And so you've got that initial research thing. It's more your internal diary, putting things forward. And at the same time, you have to play such that you can see how the play is going, and you can see how the play is going, but also how you're going in the play. You can sort of start to judge it. And so you have to do these sorts of things, like these podcasts, get you up and running. And so there's this review where you're working on it, and you stop, to a certain extent, I've stopped working on the actual device and began working on the writing. And it's been it's actually followed possibly the classic research schema. So the research schema is that you want to produce a prototype, because a prototype is an experiment, a witness from nature, which validates what you think. And the very first iteration is to assemble a thinking model, a concept model, get the process together. In a sense, my research paper has gone that, but you get the concept model going together. And then once you get the concept model, you look at engineering the actual conceptual bits such that you can play with them and see how they interact. And to a certain extent, that's what I've done with, I suppose, podcasting to express myself, but also writing. The aim of just learning to write sentences and short paragraphs. And Initially, the complexity of thought I had is always you have primary well, basically for all thought there is concept, not concept, the link between the concept and non-concept, and the thought, the perception of that link. So it's four levels, and that's my sort of base. You know, if I haven't done that, I haven't really thought about something. So this is a bit, it's eerily similar to Francis Bacon method. And his method is that you collect all the examples of the concept, all examples of the not concept, all the variables, and then you have a conclusion. So it's sort of a syntactic maths-free way of getting the linguistics and the clarity of thought when you do say something. That's a huge amount of effort before you say anything. And obviously, if you're in an environment where people are violent or they're stupid, they're just not going to give you any room to do it. And I think this is one of the things Francis Bacon was really the first awake mind on the Enlightenment, awake English mind. He was deeply superstitious. He was caught up in religion. If you spoke to him now, you'd think he'd be a wacko Pentecostal Christian, but in his environment with everyone else extremely Christian, he comparatively was an extremely agile scientist. So he looks like a great scientist against the background of his thinking. And so too here, I'm trying to actually go forward, but against my own background. I'm aware that I have no backdrop. There is everyone in society, as far as I can see, is got no originality. I don't know if that may be it, but they can only define themselves with the colour and palette of society. They want to be a better or a particular version of a caricature within the society, and therefore they can't. There's just no capacity to think originally, so I think that's really deeply involved. Where you pick this up is the profound processing. So I've built these quantum mechanical experiments and got them up and going, and I'm at a level where mathematically I see it and I work out and I say yes. But other people are coming into it saying, it may be working, but you're not famous, therefore it can't be. And that's more or not so much a statement about that, it's a statement about their own belief system. And it's you can see how noisy it is coming up here. It's a huge truck going down in the middle of the night as I walk out. So you've got to do that. And so once you've gone through that discipline, you say, well, I'm not being foolhardy, but I'm not, I can't, as much as you would want me to, as much as you define your life as being beheld by fools. And it's like this is really amazing that they want to look good in the eyes of fools and them themselves not be foolish, and in this entire process not make foolish statements. So you've got all this process going along, and the fundamental thing is that a scientific experiment which you see, a circuit which works, an equation which adds up, that by itself is your fundamental testament of nature. It's the one thing which you can say isn't foolish. So it's sort of, it can be right for a poor person in Bangladesh, it can be right for someone from Patagonia, it can be right for a Martian. It's a fundamental truth. That's what experimenters go to. And the consequence is sort of like a mixture of fundamental truth doesn't mix with foolishness. And really, when you come down to it, education has lost touch with the roots of logic. And the line is that you just don't babble on. It's a coherent babble in which there is actually no context to the real world. That is foolishness. But of course you don't want to actually tamper to in this foolish world. There is nothing more inflammatory than actually someone hopping up and down and saying you are fools. You know, that's fools don't deal with other fools very well, and there is this attitude. You can almost find a foolish person by how easily they identify other fools. They know their trade, they know their plight. So we're getting into this thing that I'm going for the concept prototype, the research prototype, and this is where, so I've got the paragraph module, I'm getting that up, getting the structure things, and then hitting towards the research prototype through the production prototype. And it's interesting that so the longhand term has link ideas in them, and those link ideas really have to be distilled and put in sentence by sentence in a much more condensed paragraph. And then the actual idea is that your the idea of a science paper being to a communication paper, and this is sort of one of the ideas, is that people don't know, there's deep thought and then there's communication. You can't do deep thought and communicate at the same time. Well, at least I can't do that. And so this research paper is coming up where I actually have condensed pages into a short paragraph. It's no longer that four component object, not object, relationships between the two and perception of that relationship. This is your fundamental basis to create dimensionality with your thought, for which thoughts can actually go together. It's actually rather similar to, it's got elements of the Descartes method of thought. It's really interesting that that's come through. And it's really interesting that the science as a discipline doesn't lead to communication. It leads to winnowing, spreading out the ideas, filtering the ideas, expanding the ideas. And you have this, you have basic sections of purified ideas which can work, but can that be communicated? No. Whereas so you basically got two Enlightenment strands. So you've got scholasticism, which is a sort of form of foolish man madness. This what is it called? Medieval thought was scholastics, saying that, I don't know what's going on. The only good book we know is the Bible. So from that Bible, can we have a process which comes up with another good book? And the Bible plus Pope gives sacred readings, and then eventually I can create a world of a quality system, an internal quality system, where you'd have a God which says, that's quality, mate. Okay, sort of like, I don't know, I think we do it a lot by here. It's sort of like we have scholasticism by using brands. This is, think of it. And then after that sort of medieval thought, you had people saying, well, if we put that brand system aside, where do we start for it? So you've got the Baconian empiricist view, which spread things out, make it ever so fine. Now, what that means is it's so fine that it's so atmospheric, so rarefied, that people... And it's really interesting that this fool, you know, I'm not a fool, you're a fool, and this is sort of like a scholastic, social scholasticism, a very medieval way of doing it. And the interesting thing is the medieval person didn't think coherently or logically, or had no clear thinking. They it was very much the name of the rose. Christ's blood is red. Roses are red. Roses are sacred. You know, where does it come through? I have sort of a foolish link of logic, and it's highly commercial. It's much easier to actually come up with a new brand of car and sell it with an advertisement than to actually make a more efficient car and stand there with the sheet and say, look, I know that you spend time looking at the specs, but you'll buy the best spec car. That doesn't happen. So there's this massive foolishness here. So we're getting up to the stage that perhaps I might be near to communication, and I might be a long way off. It is really an open-ended problem with great response at the end. And so eventually I come to the idea, what are the fundamental qualities that what I'm pushing forward is something outside the paradigm of education? Am I advocating that as you push me out of education and say, look, you can't teach, education requires a fool to teach, someone who can self-deceive themselves and read a little blurb in the packet and say, yeah, confidence, oh, I'm so good, and basically cut off conversations if you want to say, hey, you really have not understood that very well. They want to go that way, and so this is sort of very much a way back, but not just me, but put the robot in the box, put a robot plus demonstration has enormous power, because that robot can sense when it's going to be used. Yeah, I'm on my way back. Because that's when it's used, can turn on in the middle of the night. Say at 2 o'clock in the morning, you decide tomorrow I'm going to use that. That robot will switch itself on, work out whether it's ready, and tell you I'm ready to go. And then it can, say it's a week away, it can then start issuing the students with pre-lessons. And then it can learn from the students. So this is something, and this is very much, this is too far-fetched. And the critical thing is that I wanted to say is that, can we move on? I agree that this is not the way you're going. There's a statement of what I would say foolishness. You know, that it's a fool's, basically it's a fool's paradise to go forward. And just let the system roll. If it's so I'm getting the very basics of this, and this idea of not reading a situation is this story I have, and strange that I get these stories coming up, or ways of saying something very powerfully. And this story is of a father and four children. He's going to take the children to school across town, and they wave goodbye to the mum, and the mum is just listening to the radio, and there's this report of this madman on the road, mad person on the road, driving the wrong direction. And she goes, "Oh my God, I hope my children are safe." And so she phones up the husband, or the father, because you've got to do all these things of role reversal, and you're not allowed to say husband, that's sexist, there you go, and all this type of stuff, father, but the children do have a father, you can't say that, and that's incidental information. And so father's better than male carer. And he says back, "Look, honey, it's not just one. I can tell you there are hundreds of people driving in the wrong direction." And in that statement, and that's the punchline, in that he's driving in the wrong direction, but he's got a worldview that he's driving in the right direction and everybody else is there. And in education, they have these things that they cannot explain. A transistor, it cannot be explained, yet the transistor is fundamental to all computers. They cannot explain a GPS. The GPS can't be explained because they use a medieval concept called angel time. Now, GPSs operate in Einstein time. And Einstein introduced a new concept of Einstein time as opposed to angelic time. So the concept of angelic time was developed by St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, of course, they're not going to understand this because it is not important to actually know the origin of their misconceptions. But it is really interesting to go in, and it's this idea is that their frame of reference is so go up, they don't say stop or hang on, what does it really mean that I cannot explain a transistor? What does that mean? It means that there is a limitation to the way you draw an electron. The way you draw an electron on a blackboard, it's a dot. That cannot lead to a transistor. Doing something different does. And similarly, going through, what does it mean? It means that when you teach faulty thoughts, this is another thing I open up, is that again, it's a page of writing into a sentence at the start, saying that seeing a scientific principle in a demonstration and then verifying it for yourself with a practical experiment is a step forward. Now that was a page of writing about defining what a demonstration was, defining what a practical is, the value of it, and stuff like that. And just that's a step forward. However, following that with a bad explanation is two steps backwards, and bang. That's pages of writing done there in that sentence. And this over here, and the idea of linking what I'm doing with the GPS, and this is from basically it's creating an entire ocean of ideas flooding together, getting streams and currents of ideas, and then plucking the little fish out and putting it there. And yeah, it's really hard. And then the understanding is that people read, the aim of a research paper ultimately is for communication, but there are these people who go day one, communicating, and they can only ever communicate the froth idea. They're really cappuccino, they're cake decorators, the idea of cake decorators. I've got to cook and bring this together. Now, that being said, I've slowly coming up to the gym, and hopefully this is, you're not going to hear too much clinking, and it's going to be a tough one to try and push forward, and cognitive rehab in terms of writing things up and trying pushing things forward. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm right outside the gym now. Thank you.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.